Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And I just want to state real quickly, which I've done before, that you know that love letters are for anyone at any time for anything you have to say. And it can be just, it can be a memory, it can be a seduction, it can be an invitation, it can be a goodbye, it can be any story you want to tell. And with that in mind, I want to introduce today's guest, Nancy Ballard, who's the founder and CEO of Rooms That Rock for Chemo. Now, I want to go right to you. I have not met Nancy before, and I don't know anything about this. I just heard about it, and I know I'm probably going to end up crying. Tell us, and you did mention that this is not from your personal experience with any cancer or chemotherapy.
Correct.
How did you come to do this?
Okay, I call this an accidental nonprofit. In May 2011, for my 60th birthday, I went to my doctor's to get a shot, a whooping cough shot, because my son was having a baby. His wife's a nurse and said, if you want to hold the baby, you must get a shot.
Just in general?
Okay. No, actually, he was a doctor. He was an oncologist.
No, but why whooping cough?
That's something new they're doing when you have new babies.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. So they said, okay, get the whooping cough shot. So I did. And at that point, I was retired from the corporate world, and I was fulfilling two dreams. One was to be a master botanical illustrator. So I had gone and taken classes for that in watercolors.
Well, what did you do in the corporate world, just in a word?
Answering service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Okay. When they
connecting
had those,
people.
Right,
yes.
Connecting people.
Oh, my, yes.
And I had just also written a book, a fiction book of growing up in the 60s in San Francisco that a publisher picked up, and I was about to go out on tour with my book.
And I want to tell of the name of it so we can look for it?
Oh, Invited Guests.
Okay.
So there I was, very busy, not looking for a project. And when I went to get my vaccination, the nurse said, your art is so beautiful. I had a piece under my arm delivering to
a
client.
Oh, so you paint also.
Yes, master botanical illustrator.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I had the piece of art under my arm, and she said, that's so gorgeous. I wish we had something like that for our chemotherapy rooms. And I said, what chemotherapy rooms? Well, I normally turn left. They turned right, and she said, I'll show you one. And I said, fine. So she took me down the hall, and we went and saw one of these chemotherapy rooms. And it was drab and sad. One of the main doctors had just retired. It had two-tone walls where they had taken the art off and not replaced it, naked nails, and plaster falling down.
Oh.
I've never had cancer. No one in my family has. It was, like I said, it was accidental to even see a chemotherapy.
Just where you should have something that's looking to a future of brightness, you shouldn't. Oh, my goodness. That's worse than a.
It broke my heart. And I thought, and I told her, I said, I'm happy to give you art, but art's not going to make a difference. This room is just too sad. We have to do something. And I went home and I told my husband, I have to do something. I have to do something. It just connected with me. He said, no, you don't. You're too busy. Well, I went on a website that weekend.
Oh, I'm so proud. I'm so proud to know you already. Go ahead. Yeah.
I went on a website called House, H-O-U-Z-Z, mm-hmm. and it tells you about interior designers. And I clicked for the San Francisco Bay Area where I live. And I found 20 designers whose their heart connected. I read their mission statement.
Uh-huh.
And there was something about their mission statement that I admired. So I emailed all 20 of them and said,
oh, this is great.
You don't know me. I'm not a nonprofit, but I'm asking you to trust me and give me your time, your energy, your expertise, finance it yourself, and get your own volunteers to make a difference in one chemotherapy room. Just one. Would you do that? And that very weekend, I had four people contact me back and say, it'd be my pleasure.
Oh, my.
I've been there with my mother, my father, whoever they had been there with, a loved one. And they said, I've always thought of that, and it would be my pleasure. And that's how it started.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You talk because I'm done.
So that doctor, at that point, it was Dr. Hufford, who was my doctor. On his behalf, I have to say, he just came back from a year bout with pancreatic cancer and would die shortly thereafter.
Oh.
So his ideas and his mind were not on the decor of his environment. So I wrote up the proposal, didn't ask him, told him I was going to be transforming his chemotherapy rooms, wrapped it up in a big bow, and gave it to him.
What did he say?
He cried.
Uh-huh.
And when it was finished, he nominated me for the Jefferson Award, which I got.
Oh, yay!
Wonderful. So that was very exciting.
I'm so familiar with some of the winners, too, who have been my guests here.
Oh, really?
Yes, many. Yes, okay, go ahead.
So that was the beginning.
Are you a nonprofit now?
No, I'm a nonprofit. We became a nonprofit in 2013.
Okay, let's just take a minute to give your website in case people want to
donate. Go there now.
Yes. Yes. What is it?
It's Rooms That Rock, the number 4, Chemo.
Okay. ROOMSTHATROCK4CHEMO.org. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Thank you.
Every year, you know, one letter off and...
Right, and this year, this time of the year, especially people want to donate in memory of a loved one.
Oh my goodness!
You know,
okay,
it's more hopeful. There's studies that have been done that it is more hopeful. It's more, it means more to the patients and to their families.
Oh yes,
to have these rooms transformed.
Yes.
So, like I said, that was in May 2011. Since then, we've done 15 facilities throughout the United States. We've been to San Salvador twice. And that's a favorite story in that right when I started, a young woman emailed me and said, I'm from a small country named El Salvador. Mm. You probably don't even know where it is.
Oh, of course, in California we do.
Right.
My goodness.
And we have a chemotherapy center here that is worse than a prison. Will you please come? Or will you help us? So once again, I told my husband I'm going to San Salvador, and he said, you are absolutely not going to San Salvador.
Oh, no, so I wonder if he'd stop saying these things to you.
No, it's good. It's good. It gets me going even more. More motivation. So I went down. I didn't know who was going to meet me at the other end, what was going to happen. I had to get all my shots, and it turned out to be a wonderful experience.
How long were you there?
That's the thing when we do these rooms or even a whole facility like we did San Francisco General Hospital, you have to get it done in a weekend.
That's what I'm wondering.
Because they need their facilities.
Oh, they can't have workmen in there when they need
a No.
Place. So, okay, so I want you to start. What are you doing? What did you go down there with? What did you get off the airplane with? Material?
A big smile.
Uh-huh.
Some of the things I could bring in suitcases, maybe ideas.
Oh, but you don't have to bring paints and...
We had to buy the paints there.
But you can buy them.
We can buy them there. Stencils. We do a lot of stenciling because it's quick and lovely and really transforms a room. For this one, we did bring light fixtures because we could put new light fixtures in. To look at that one on the website, the one in San Salvador, the transformation is...
It sounds like it all is. So you get there, you've got a weekend to do a room anywhere.
Right.
Where do you start? Who do you call? What do you do?
What happens is we communicate with the facility before it begins.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's easier to do it locally. But if it's like someone in San Salvador, they send us pictures and specs and everything. So we know how much of what
but
we have to buy.
But you must have to paint the rooms first.
Absolutely. So what you do.
You don't want to put up art on a drab wall.
Right. So what we do first is we paint everything. And then we put in artwork. We stencil. If we can put. Every hospital has different rules and regulations for fire code and things like that, which I've become an expert at.
I'm sure.
So we normally stencil, we'll put in wallpaper. If we're very fortunate and we get good donations, we can put in new privacy curtains. That usually dates a room more than anything.
Oh, so in other words, instead of having several people in at once, what do you mean private?
Right. Most facilities will have a room that has like
one
a community
for one
room.
Person.
No, like a large community room, maybe 12 to 15 chairs.
Oh.
So in those facilities, they have the curtains, like a doctor's office,
yes.
And they're usually very dated. So that's the first thing we do
is we
change those.
Yes.
For example, when we did Children's Hospital in Oakland, the outpatient department, we got very playful privacy curtains where before they were somewhat drab.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a muralist that normally comes and does a project with us. At San Francisco General, they transformed the whole waiting room. It was two huge rooms, and they transformed it into an underwater sea world, which was amazing. We did it in honor of a young boy that had died, and a car hit him when he was 4. Mm-hmm. And we did it in honor of him and his father. No cancer involved, but just knowing the sorrow and the wanting to take it to a place where he could be honored. So we did it. It was Nikki's room, and we did it in honor of him, and he loved the ocean. So it was an underwater sea world. It was beautiful. So, and those are all on the website, too, all the before and after
pictures.
Well,
I'll go look later. Now, you're still going strong.
Absolutely.
And what year did you say you started this? 2011.
So not long.
Not long at all.
No. And we've, like I said, we've done 15 facilities. We have made an impact.
That's huge in 3 years.
I know.
My goodness.
I'm busy.
You're busy. See, this is why I need a television moment.
Yes.
Because I wish people could just see your face.
Oh.
I mean, there's this constant, productive motion about you even when you're talking.
Well, I love what I feel so fortunate that this found me because I wasn't looking for it, and I'm glad I had my eyes opened and saw it. But we make an impact in over 800,000 patient visits a year.
I was going to ask that. So have you heard from any of the, and I want to say women, and I shouldn't because it's got to be men also. You know, I think in terms of more women going for chemo.
Right.
Only because I think about breast cancer and ovarian cancer, but not true.
No, we don't discriminate, nor does cancer.
Oh, no, I realize you would.
No, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
Is it about equal?
I'd say it's about equal.
Of course. How silly of me, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And have you heard from any of the patients or?
It's very rare, simply because we're in there on a weekend.
Oh, they don't know necessarily who's done this or anything. So,
And then we put up a plaque, and we have we try oftentimes to have a ceremony, a ribbon cutting ceremony on Monday morning, where we can meet patients and they can see the transformation. They're shocked.
Oh, because they have gone for some in the drab awful rooms, and now they're
And now they're in the new room. So it's very rare that I get to participate with patients.
Yes, and also
I'm like the Easter Bunny.
Right,
do it and hop back out.
Yes. Also, people are so consumed with surviving that they're not thinking of at that moment.
Right.
What does the staff have to say about all this? And what do the doctors say? Actually,
we really do our best to have the staff involved in our in the way we're going to change the environment,
mm-hmm.
simply because they're there every day. So they know what they would like to see. I mean, maybe they really want to have, you know, a nicer countertop or a color that they love, something that they think their patients would like. So we involve them in our storyboard session that we do before we actually go in and do it.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. We also make sure whenever we go in and we do a project that we transform the nurse's break room.
Oh, how nice.
Because they are there every day.
Of course.
And they live with that, and they are angels.
I think what I'm thinking is, you know, mood and frame of mind, excuse me, is so important in healing.
Environment matters.
Well, and what's internal matters.
Right.
And I'm wondering if the people who administer the chemotherapy and the nurses do it with a more hopeful and cheerful, you know, they're not walking into a drab, horrible room.
It makes a difference for all the staff. It's amazing.
If they're treating in a more cheerful mood or a more hopeful mood or something.
One doctor told me that when he's in one of the rooms, now that he's in those rooms, he speaks in a more quiet voice. He's calmer. He's more hopeful. So the doctor has all these feelings.
Yes.
It's that contagious. That's well said. So it just goes all the way down.
I remember once, I think I must have been in, you know, early high school. My father was a physician. And I remember his saying that how a patient feels about his recovery has an enormous amount to do with whether he recovers at all.
It's true. It's true. I have mm-hmm. people that told me if my sister had been in a room like this, perhaps she would have made it.
Yes.
So those are things that really motivate me to keep going too. And we hope this is the new norm for all chemotherapy rooms. My vision is to have it be the norm
mm-hmm.
and that I don't want to stop until every room's done. It's only fair.
Yes.
I mean, why discriminate,
some
right?
Some should have it, some shouldn't,
right?
Yes. Yes. So you've, I mean, this is where interior decor becomes life-saving. I mean,
exactly right.
If you ever want to, there's nothing in the world that should be minimized as to what its importance is.
Correct. Yeah. And this is really a joy for designers that they get to design in a way that makes a difference for people that they don't know and make a difference in healing.
Yes.
I mean, a huge difference in healing. So we have we're 100% volunteer and we have volunteers. It's amazing. We have enough volunteers to get projects done, every project.
So in other words, any donation that people make is going to go right to services. It's not
absolutely.
Going to go through. That's important.
I am a staff of one.
Yes. It's not going to go for salaries or advertising or
it's me and me.
Yes.
We're the only ones in the office.
And it looks like the world is safe in your hands. What you brought a letter here.
I did. It's the gift that I wanted to share with your listeners.
Because you know, every moment in life has the seeds of a love letter in it.
Mm-hmm.
The life that you're living has the seeds of a forest in it. I could see. So I would, you know, I want to know about love letters that you've either written or read or.
So this is my gift to your listeners.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you. That they are involved or they can imagine what it's like to be involved in a project.
Okay. So this is something you've written.
Yes.
And it's in the first person. But it's not about you.
It's not about me.
Explain what this is.
Okay, then. I'm explaining what it is to do a project with Rooms at Rockford Chemo, what it's like to go in on a weekend.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One quick weekend and get this project done for people that you don't know and will never know you.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I call it imagine. Imagine three times diagnosed, three times sitting in a chemotherapy center hoping for the best, fighting for her life in drab, dismal, uninspiring surroundings. She is in the twilight of her years and wants to give up. No one could blame her. Friday afternoon, her chemotherapy session is over, finally. The kind-faced nurses say goodbye and wish her a good weekend. They promise to see her Monday bright and early. Everyone is tired. Another Monday looming in her future with the fear and difficulty of chemotherapy yet again. It would be easier perhaps if it wasn't so what? So hard, so lonely, so scary? It is 4 p.m. I am waiting in the wings with a fabulous group of volunteers, including our Rooms at Rockford chemo designer Cora Sue Anthony, our project coordinator Amy O, worker bees from Home Depot and the local community, 100% volunteers. Our team numbers 90, all there to make a difference in the lives of those suffering, enduring chemotherapy. We don't all know each other, but we all agree. Together we will make a difference. We are here for one quick weekend. We don't have the luxury of time. For the past 6 months, we have planned and designed the transformation of these chemotherapy rooms from sad and drab to hopeful and lovely. We have decided on a spa theme. On your mark, get set, go. It's Friday night. We stay up until midnight looking over the site, checking our inventory, paint and supplies, outdoor building space, food arranged for all volunteers for the entire weekend. Check. New lighting. Oops, nope. Put that on the list for Saturday. Make a note to send someone out shopping. Make sure the volunteer t-shirts and wall art has arrived. Sunday night near midnight, the 8 rooms are completed. You can feel the environment abuzz with hope and new beginnings. It is peaceful, lovely, and, well, amazing. Monday morning, she arrives for her appointment. She shuffles, actually, shoulders sagging, head down, no hurry. She looks up to sign up at the front desk to find it, well, unrecognizable. There is fresh soothing paint on the walls, together with beautiful artwork, murals, and stencils. New privacy curtains and chemotherapy chairs. Even the waiting room looks inviting and fresh. She can feel the brilliance, the kindness coming out of each nook and cranny. She wonders, who would do such a thing? Why our center? How did this happen? It is then she sees the ribbon-cutting ceremony and hears the many oohs and ahs from the staff and patients alike. She hears the story of Rooms at Rockford Chemo and its amazing volunteers. With tears streaming down her face, she walks toward a new chemotherapy center chair and sits facing the party, taking it all in. Her eyes twinkle. The room sparkles. When Amy O. asks her opinion of the transformation, she almost jumps out of her chair with this brightness not seen lately by staff or fellow chemo buddies. She smiles a great big smile and says, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm going to beat it. Yes, I'm really going to beat it this time. It is beautiful. We agree. This facility is just one of our 15 projects since our inception in May 2011. The woman with her newly found strength represents just one of over 800,000 patient visits per year in a room that rocks for chemo. 800,000 people would fill AT&T Park 19 times, and that's just the patients. Add to that the staff, the doctors, the nurses that know for sure environment makes a difference, and the family and friends who are overjoyed their loved ones are being cared for in such a healing and calming environment. I invite you to share this next chapter of our amazing journey. It only takes one person. Let it be you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Love, Nancy.
Yeah, well, okay, so, yes, love, Nancy. Who wouldn't love Nancy? You know, I'm while you're reading this, I'm thinking, and in the corporate world, you were an answering service.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still, I mean, you are answering the call for something crucial.
Well said.
Yes. Okay, so I have a question. So
yes.
This is gorgeous. I know you're a writer. And tell me, like, who has seen this? Where has it gone? May I?
You may.
May I dive right in?
You may.
This is, you are so much a part of medical history.
Oh, thank you.
You know, when people look back at this, I mean, I look to the future with every letter. People will look back at this and wonder, where did the shift come?
Oh.
That we don't go into a miserable chamber to see if our life can be saved, but we go into something life-affirming to continue our life.
Wow, sounds beautiful.
Isn't that kind of what you're... So I just think that's huge. And this is typewritten, which is great because I know personally I think as fast as I and that's and I can see how fast you go. But who would you mail this to?
I would mail
it. Should this gift end up in somebody's mailbox?
Yes.
And a beautiful piece of stationery in your handwriting?
In my handwriting, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It could go to you.
I know it already.
You're a little humble for that, I can see.
I already know it.
Well, just to keep a record of it. But
I like it. I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you. I might have to come back.
Okay, that's perfect. I love when I can ask somebody to come back. Now, the doctor who died, your doctor who died.
Dr. Hufford.
Does he have a family?
Yes, I could send it to his wife.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Thank you. I'll send it to her.
Okay. You know, dear Dr. Hufford, I'm writing this to you. Because I want to catch you up with what's been going on, and I'm just going to send it to your wife. She can keep it for you.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
what a great gift. Thank you. Thank you.
Because this should end up in some archives or in some. And do you keep? How do you keep records of what's going on in this work? You have a big treasure box or something?
Pretty much. And I try to put everything on my website, you know, all stories about each project.
Such a good point. Okay, on your website, you know that this. Business, this technology blessing that we live in, changes every how often?
Minute.
Yes. And so what you put on there today will someday not be accessible.
Oh.
Period. Goodbye. You can't use your floppy disks. I mean, who even heard of them? Well, we
Good
have.
Point,
but,
right.
You know, you can't play your Betamax movies. You can't play your VCRs anymore if your machine is because, you know, they're,
right.
You can't. But we have letters that are 400 years old that look like they've been written yesterday.
All right.
Okay, so
I'm sold.
And if you do it like this, maybe a couple of copies, but in really good permanent ink on really strong paper. So
I have beautiful handwriting too.
I bet. Well, if you're a botanical, yes. Okay.
Thank you for that. That's what a gift. Thank you.
And just to, what a gift to everybody. I'm so charmed and moved by this. And when I say good ink, I actually wrote a letter to a baby on her birth. About 7 years ago, and it went in the treasure box. And I'm embarrassed to say that when the mother took it out, the paper was blank. It had just faded. I know, I'm horrified.
Wow.
So you just have to be aware of these things that you want to live for the... Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, to his wife. How nice.
I love it. To Mrs. Hepburn. Thank you.
Thank you so much
for
doing this with me. So what's next now as you...
Oh, we have so many projects... ahead for 2015. In May of this year, the Giants picked us up as they're our corporate sponsor.
Oh.
What our community involved sponsor, and mm-hmm. we did St. Mary's Hospital with them. And Matt Cain came out and threw out the first paintbrush, and I got to be, it was so exciting. I got to be on AT&T Park, you know, on the field and everything. So hopefully we'll do another project with the Giants. And my vision is that when we go to other cities, that we involve a ball team as well. Mm-hmm. They're such philanthropists, and they're so big-hearted.
And they have people's attention. Like
and they
nothing.
Have people's
yes.
attention. So it gives us a lot of credibility and also gives us that joy of having other people involved.
Well, it gives you a lot of credibility. Think what you give them.
That's true.
You know? I mean, that goes both ways, as if they want to be really part of a community.
When I first met with them, they said they get over 300 requests a day for something, anything.
Oh, sure.
So I was very honored that they thought that what we do is worthy of being a partner with them. We're thinking of going to Bethesda. I just got another letter from San Salvador, so I might have a third trip there. It's hard to say no to them.
Of course, there's a whole world to cover.
You know, so what we do is people come in and they request, that's where we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
And it has implications for other areas of life, of course.
Of course.
But I know you're too busy with that.
Far too busy.
As your husband would say.
Yes.
I'm thinking there was a commercial, Sherwin-Williams paint. And it used to be Cover the World with Sherwin-Williams paint.
Yes, I remember that. Ooh, I remember that.
And that's so applicable to what you're doing. Yes,
cover
just
the world.
Cheering the world up. Where
in
it can
such a
be.
Time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and like I know when we did Children's Hospital in Oakland, it meant so much to the parents. Many of those kids are so small, they're in cribs.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to do that project. And it made a huge impact on their parents.
Well, when you're fighting misery, you can't be surrounded by misery.
No.
Yes,
not and expect to be hopeful.
Right.
So
right.
This, it does bring
So what do you need
hope.
From people? You need artists? You need what? Let's just say out loud
the main
what you
thing,
would like, who you'd like to hear from.
I'd love to hear from corporate people that want to be partners with us,
mm-hmm.
Corporate I don't know what they're called, corporate partners?
Sure, yes.
People that, yeah, like corporations that can give us finances and or things. For example, Home Depot partners with us, and they gave us all the paint that we need for all the projects.
Okay. Now, what about individual designers and artists?
Artists and designers absolutely love them. Whenever we do a project, we have our in-house designer, Cora Sue Anthony. She's on HGTV. And also we have another designer in whatever city we're in so that they can do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we also have the staff involved in that as well. Mm-hmm. So designers, absolutely. Artwork is difficult because we don't have the finances to frame it.
Uh-huh.
So if you're kind enough to donate art to us, we can't frame it. And depending on the hospital, they have different rules and regulations of how it needs to be framed.
Oh, what are some of those? Like what?
Like some of them only want plexiglass, not glass.
Oh, in others case
want
they break.
Others want certain kind of framing. So it's just, it's per hospital, mm-hmm. it's per project. Mm-hmm. So what we normally do when we're doing a project is we'll put it on the our website and tell people that there's a project going on
and what we
need. There's also a link on our website where if you're interested in being involved, you can just fill out a form. It's an application, but it's a form, and it comes directly to me.
And then you'll see what you need and respond to
correct.
That person.
Uh-huh. Correct, correct. So at this point, donations are terrific. We also do it in memory of a loved one. If you wanted to sponsor a room in a facility we're doing or a chair, mm-hmm. we're doing that now where you have the naming rights, where you're able to say, take this money and on your next project, name this room after my loved
mm-hmm,
one.
Of course.
Or name this chair after my loved
now,
one.
Now, when people make a donation to you, if somebody makes a donation in memory of somebody or honor of somebody, do you let that family know that that's been done?
Oh, absolutely. Even if they sent $5 just to say good luck with what you do. Absolutely. I do have my manners.
Oh, no, I wasn't questioning your manners. I didn't know what time allowed. So like,
I make sure I personally write a thank you note to everyone that donates.
Okay, so then let's just thank you notes, by the way. I know I'm just, you know, going on here about it. But thank you notes are an important subset of love letters.
Right.
Because every one of those letters is expressing love for the yes. Okay.
Yes.
So you're an old hand at writing letters.
It's the least I can do if someone's kind enough to take time to donate to us. Because there's a lot of different places you can donate, and every one of them is worthy.
Yes.
So if someone's touched by our story,
however, you rarely get a handwritten thank you note for a donation. I mean, it's nice that you get anything at all, of
mm-hmm.
course, and people are busy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look like you're pretty much without limit. I mean, I'm sitting here next to you for half an hour, and I feel like I could go take over the world.
You know, I think it's like I said, I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm very blessed with my projects, and there's not enough time to do it. There's only 52 weekends in a year,
yes.
So I'm busy. I got a lot to do.
Yes, and you seem to be doing it.
I am.
And, you know, I have another, you're kind of, and then I'm going to just say this one thing, and I know you've got to go when our time's going to be up, but you're kind of touching on something that people are sometimes afraid to dive into something because it's depressing,
mm-hmm.
because it's a depressing or disturbing subject or atmosphere. And I think the answer to that I'm getting from you is it's not depressing if you do something about it. In other words, if you don't
True.
Get taken in by somebody else's
drama and their sorrow, you go in
and you can kind of work around that and make it better.
Right.
That you're not drowning in the misery of the whole issue of
correct
fighting for one's life.
Correct. That's well said. That's exactly what it is. We go
it's
our pleasure, it's our honor to
yes.
go in there.
Uh-huh.
We are honored that somebody will let us go in there and do that for their facility.
Yes. So you're seeing the positive.
Absolutely.
In a difficult situation. Oh, thank you. I'm just out of breath.
thank you
for doing this with me. And until next time, and I hope as soon as you have something more to say or you
I'll
want
you
to
know.
Finish this long sentence, you'll come back.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is
thank
Janet
you.
Gallen and
Nancy Ballard
saying goodbye for now. I can't wait till you come back. Thank you.